This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
This is Debbie Levin at Organic Lunch, and we're here today at Oh Fudge, which is an amazing, fabulous family restaurant in West Hollywood, California. And actually, it is the first restaurant to get the Emma Green Seal. And it is safe on every level, from construction to menu. And we were very excited that we were able to work with the wonderful owners here, and we've decided to make this the home for Organic Lunch. And today we're so excited because we have a longtime Emma board member and one of the stars of ABC's hit show Scandal, Darby Stanchfield, with us today.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi.
So good to be here.
Really excited too, because we just finished the Emma Awards like a week and a half ago.
It was such an amazing event. It grows every year, and the social media footprint gets larger and larger, and oh, just the people that were honored, you know, Jaden Smith and Shailene Woodley. And it was just such a special award show this year.
It felt special because, first of all, the other thing is that I love that all of our board members like yourself are always so present and passionate and in the show. And actually, you took over our Instagram and our social for the night, which
I did.
Big bone. I don't even know what that means. Can you like tell me? I was so busy backstage.
It means that I get your secret password on your Instagram. And then what I did was I just posted photos from sort of my point of view of navigating through the award show. So it started off with riding in a beautiful Lexus hybrid on the way to the award show. Who's one of our partners for the Emma Awards. And then, you know, behind the scenes of at the carpet, and then, you know, it was a sit-down dinner. And so the beautiful menu and Nicole Richie and her opening speech. And so it was really just sort of a navigation of my experience attending the Emma Awards. And Jay helped out, which was great, and put in some other posts because there was so much to cover. But it was a really fun experience, and I just felt like it was kind of another way of giving back. I mean, I also presented, but it was nice to pitch in and do something creative and just, you know, bring even more awareness to our Emma Gala that we have every year.
It was so great to have you do that, and I think for me, emotionally, the fact that you offered and brought that up was it made everything come together in such a huge way.
Well, I was really inspired to offer that, and I think something you and I were talking about last month is I feel like Emma, the organization, Environmental Media Association, has given me so much in terms of ideas that I might have in my own personal life or in my workplace or special passions of mine. And I feel like Emma has been this real home base for me in terms of, you know, I might think of an idea and I come to you and we have a lunch and we say, how can we make this happen? And so it just felt like really nice payback of like, it's just been such a wonderful home base, a green home base for me. And I know a lot of other celebrity types to help bring awareness of all sorts of environmental issues, whether it's just way of living or, you know, protesting important legislation or, you know, taking a stand on something. So that was the main, you know, I just felt really inspired to keep this growing, this relationship growing, and to give back.
And honestly, when I read your email, it made me cry. I was so moved because I think that organizations kind of just keep going because there's so much to do all the time. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that you take a moment to think about the impact. You just are just doing as much as you can as a nonprofit.
Yes.
And it actually put into perspective in a way that I hadn't thought about probably in forever.
Yeah.
That we actually have all these We have the most amazing board with all these great resources of people with such a huge voice. Sure. And I just half the time think I'm bugging everybody to make them do stuff.
Yeah. And no, and quite the opposite. I mean, I think, it might feel that way from your perspective. And it's, I think some of it is just because everybody is so busy and you're just saying, can you please just do a little bit more on top of your incredibly busy schedule? But, you know, I've really, I found that that relationship of you presenting opportunities and asking for someone who is so busy and, you know, you're able to sort of assess organizations that are, you know, have high ranks through the Better Business Bureau and that who really do put their money where their cause is. And, you know, and we have these board meetings where the board members brainstorm and talk about ideas of like things that we want maybe to do as an organization or subject matters that we want to bring awareness to. But I want to tell you, I want to remind you of how I first became an Emma member. I was on social media and I had read something about the school garden program. And I can't tell you whose Twitter feed it was, but I just know that at the time I was living in a different house and I was working a lot less and I was doing a lot of gardening, vegetable gardening.
And it was by the way, you have the most beautiful, and I am so envious of your vegetable garden at home.
And, and I grew up, my grandparents were big gardeners. And, so I sort of grew up in that environment and then, you know, fell away from it, but then, you know, in my adult life, like went back to gardening and I just realized like, I started to learn so much about growing my own food and I started composting my own soil and I had a worm factory that where I would compost all of my biodegradable material and the worms would eat it and poop it out and I would put it on the garden and it would just grow like crazy. And so I really started to get a hands-on experience. And when I saw on social media, I think it was on Twitter, that you had this school gardening program, I got so excited because I thought, oh, for kids, even on a very superficial level, maybe they don't get to garden at home, maybe they don't have the money, but to have a learning platform at school where they get a little bit of information and they get to know a little bit about where their food comes from or how long it takes to grow a bell pepper or lettuce and the whole system of the importance of water and, you know, nutritious soil and even just their education on eating better. And, you know, like it may be schools where they don't really have a lot of vegetables in their life. So there's a whole sort of awareness that has to do with environment, diet, respect for the earth. So I got really excited about the school program and I literally looked you guys up. I made my publicist set up an appointment. I came and I stalked you guys in your office.
I remember you walking in. I never had that experience before.
I know. I was like, you guys didn't seek me out. I sought you out. And I think Scandal had just started and you were like, who are you and what is this? And
oh, I was nicer than that.
No. You were really nice, but kidding. It just, you know, Scandal hadn't quite exploded yet. And I'm happy that it did because of social media, the social media presence with what we do on Scandal. It's nice to then use my social media platform for my passions of, you know, taking care of our environment and green living. So you guys,
I'd actually had no idea that you found us on social. You never told me that part.
I don't know that I had. Yeah.
I may not have asked, which
and again, I don't know exactly, you know, what.
Right.
But it was something, you know, it was like Entertainment Tonight or Entertainment Weekly or
one of those.
Someone got, you know, someone from the board was retweeted like Lance Bass or something.
Right.
And in fact, now that I think about it.
Was it Lance?
It might have been.
I'm not sure.
It might have been. I'm just trying to remember, like, whose face had I
maybe
seen?
Maybe Mullen?
There we go. I think it may have
been Mullen. That's Mullen Ackerman, and she's been on our board forever. Yeah. And
I'd seen a picture of her, like, at one of these school garden events.
Yes, and she's done a lot of garden work, and so has Emmanuel Shrieky.
Yes. Anyway, so then we started to work from there, but that was so the first funny. Moment.
I remember when you walked in my office.
Yeah.
I remember exactly, and I'm like, this is amazing that you found us. Mm-hmm. And it just,
Through the social media presence.
I was so excited. Yeah. And obviously we then got together and we've become,
and the board members were so welcoming at that first board meeting.
We have an amazing board.
We do. And it's, I have to say my first board meeting was pretty incredible because you're sitting around with all these people in movies and TV and you get to cut right through the nonsense and you just get right to like what's important to you in life. And we started to talk about, you know, each of our individual passions of like why we care about the environment, how we want to give back, what sort of causes were, you know, what sort of programs were we're a part of. And I felt like I got to know people on such an intimate level first night.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Because you cut right to like something that's very substantial.
Because you don't have to be there. You don't have to be there. Your PR person isn't making you go. Your agents aren't making you go. And because of that, I think that all of our board members not only stay, but a lot of people bring in people that they know with these interests. And every it's way more like a family.
Yeah.
And you're we don't have people who don't have this agenda. Like this is, we have, I feel like we have the nicest people in the entertainment industry on our board. It's like, that's who we want to attract and that's who we are.
Yeah. You've been very good at finding those people and keeping everybody, keeping the community of board members together. And I also love the way that you, interact with us individually. I know for myself, last year I had a really incredible experience with you. I think we had lunch and I said, look, one thing I really want to do is at the Scandal Base Camp, we use a million water bottles and nothing here. We don't have a water station. We had a couple in our production offices, but we didn't have, you know, I was just looking for a way of like, maybe we could, you had told me that this is something you'd worked on before. But I came to you with an issue.
Yes.
You said, yeah, let me see what I can do. I know we can do this. And we got Britta involved and we got Star Wagons.
Star Wagons.
Jason.
Yeah, Jason Wagner.
Jason, who owns Star Wagons. And he built the first Star Wagon. It's a hair and makeup trailer that has a water station, a Britta water filter station. And you helped produce all of that. We got all of these people together. We sat down with the Scandal production.
Who were amazing.
They were amazing. And we swapped out our old trailer for the new trailer. And Britta also, you know.
I wish we could see the water bottle
know,
that you have.
I have it right here.
Here it is, everybody.
Also, put together these amazing water bottles that are like BPA free, that have the Emma seal on it and it says Scandal, but I'm telling you, it's been, I don't know, a season or two seasons since then. And I go in and out of the production offices and these water bottles are everywhere and people use them and our consumption of plastic, you know, of plastic disposable bottled water that has gone down because we have that water station.
I think it's incredible. And trust me, it's not something that I want to keep making bigger. It's putting those pieces together.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we've got to find the right.
So that was like one very tangible, wonderful way that you helped me greet. You know, we brought awareness to our Scandal fans and we, you know, lowered our carbon footprint in my workspace. And not only that, but Jason is now like super inspired to keep making these wagons.
Right.
And he and I were talking the last Emma Awards and he was like, yeah, we're going to just start having this be a normal thing for base camps.
Right.
And how great is
how
that?
How great is that?
To change the model of a base camp.
Right. And I think that...
Thanks, Debbie.
You're welcome. Makes me so happy and makes me want to do it everywhere. That's like what it does. It like motivates us for
I
like...
I know Jason felt that way too.
Yeah.
And Britta was great and Scandal was great. I was just really... I was really grateful that everybody was able to come together. And you know, it was a series of meetings where... nobody was getting paid and it felt like a lot of, you know, a labor of love, but ultimately, you know, it just ended up producing this really wonderful thing that is like sets a template going forward.
Totally.
So that's one, you know, thing last year that we did that I'm proud of and that I really loved being a part of. And again, that's what I mean by Emma's been a great green home base for me. You guys also hooked me up with the Wilderness Society.
We did.
You asked me to do a video for hashtag Where Is Your Wild. And since then I've, you know,
which is still on our website, actually.
You did a series of
We did a whole series, and you can find them on our PSAs on our website.
Trying to remember who else.
William Macy, Lance Bass.
Myself. We had a bunch of people.
We did.
We had a montage of people.
We did. We had, I should know this, we had an amazing baseball player. Who did we, do you remember who we had? You have to go on our website, which is Green 4 Emma, E-M-A.
But that was another way that you were able to help, say, Wilderness Society, get some higher profile people. Like, right. They came to you and were like, we're doing this campaign. You know, can you help us shoot some stuff? We shot some things. And since then, I've gone on to work with them you know, writing op-eds and helping sign petitions to protect the Arctic Wildlife Refuge.
And that is...
Oh, my gosh. Look at these.
Oh, my God.
Talk about organic lunch. I love that you call this organic lunch. And then at Oh Fudge, some beautiful organic food shows up.
Beautiful, right out. The vegan Caesar, which is literally my favorite. And the organic sweet potato fries, which are killer, I have
to
say. Look
at this. It's like quinoa.
I know. It's
kale,
gorgeous.
Kale, lettuce, avocado, pine nuts, golden raisins, and an organic dressing. This is something I would cook.
I know. And I like dream about this. Like if I don't have this for a little while, I have to come back here and eat it because this is my favorite thing. We're actually Instagramming this right now. Just throwing that out.
Take a photo. If you haven't been into my Instagram, all I do is take photos of food.
I think that when there's two things I want to go back to, though, that we started to talk about.
Yes, I know I'm all over the
place. No,
I'm so excited.
So okay. Two things I don't want to forget is and we can eat because they like that idea. your passion for outdoors and, you know, for the Wilderness Society and for parks and nature in general.
National parks.
Your people probably don't know this at all, but you're from Alaska.
Yes.
You were born and raised in Alaska. Mm-hmm. And I was really surprised when I first met you, probably because I don't know anybody from Alaska.
No, I remember the shock on your face.
Like, you're really from Alaska? I'm like New York, LA, and that's the most exotic thing I've ever heard.
I know.
Very different. But that, I think, is something that really informs who you are as a person.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in the great outdoors. I have an interesting background because I'm the daughter of a commercial fisherman, and we were up there for the fishing industry. So there's definitely this background that I have of both growing up in the great outdoors and appreciating and loving and wanting to protect our natural resources, but also understanding the balance that we have with making a living. My hope is that it's a sustainable living, and, you know, with fishing and all sorts of industry, you know, there are quotas and there's just
a business.
People are getting much more savvy about how to proceed in an industry, say like fishing, without fishing out a species or without damaging the environment. I mean, there's just new forms of technology and new forms of, you know, more scientific research is done. I have an interesting background, but I will say, like, you know, I grew up playing on the beach, and I remember seeing all this litter on the beach, or sometimes you'd see an oil spill, and I'd see, you know, birds or fish.
The fact that you say sometimes I'd see an oil spill is such a crazy thought to me.
I know.
Did it scare you at the time, or was it just something that...
No, I mean, I the effects of a spill. Like, I wasn't there, maybe.
No, I know, but the effects. I mean, I've never seen that.
I was a pretty little kid when I started noticing this stuff. And it was incredibly distressing to see, like, fowl in the water having a hard time flying or swimming or, you know, just maneuvering around, or fish that had been, you know, washed up on the beach. And just the effects of, you know, the carelessness or accidents that happen when, you know, mankind is out drilling for oil or, you know, doing the things. And I understand the necessity, but I'm really, really encouraged by all of the new science and the, you know, our our ability as a race to move forward with new forms of energy and,
right.
and, you know, investing in new technologies. But because I grew up in the great outdoors, I'm really, really passionate about protecting the, you know, our wild spaces and our national parks. And it feels like it's so easy to just say, oh, well, but if we could just have a few hundred more acres here, we could really use this for industry. And we keep doing that, we're not going to have wilderness left, and we're not going to have the ecological, the you know, the wildlife sustainability. We're not going to have species that exist now. I was just up in the Inyo National Park, Inyo National Wild
Refuge.
No, the National Park, National Park, just last weekend, and there is a herd of tule elk that I saw. It's on my Instagram, by the way.
Yeah.
But
I didn't know where that was, right?
Tule elk. It's up between the Sierras and the White Mountains. It's this area.
Oh.
But there's only like 500 tule elk left. And at one point, you know, there were thousands of them.
Wow.
And, you know, that was a really important species. And the, you know, the natives of the land, like that was a huge part of their resource, like
right.
how they lived. And you know, you just go, there's 500 left. Come on, can't we just...
Right, 500 is nothing.
Can we just protect them
right.
and not chip away at this these spaces? Otherwise, you know, our children, our grandchildren,
right.
my niece, my nephew, their children
right.
are not going to know what a tule elk is. They'll see it in a... You know, they'll see it online.
Right, it'll
from
just...
From an old photo.
From
yeah.
an old photo.
Sure.
I know, and I mean, I think that's why... Are the focus on new technologies
yeah.
and really like for Emma embracing these companies who are really, really authentically moving
yes.
towards, you know, different businesses, because
yes.
honestly, we need corporations. We need businesses.
We do. Yes.
And
we need industry.
Right.
I mean, yeah. Yes. And I love that. I mean, there's, you have to be savvy about it. I mean, we need energy sources. We need to
right.
heat our homes. We need to fuel our cars.
Right.
I mean, power our cars, you know? So
I feel like
I love that,
yeah.
that approach that Emma takes, Debbie, is like, you know, just really supporting the businesses and the financial institutions that really care about investing in our future from an environmental standpoint.
Right. Like we actually just met as you met at the awards, Calvert Investments.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Calvert is like Merrill Lynch or
yeah,
whoever. It's
sure.
like, you know, it's an investment company,
mm-hmm.
but they only invest in socially and environmentally sustainable businesses and companies.
Yeah.
And they actually rate every single company internationally once a year. And
That's
when
incredible.
We met them, it was like, this is so important and so urgent for everyone to know about, because I feel like it's a very small group of people that really are exposed to this
yeah.
ability. And if we're supporting these companies
yes.
and we're making a choice.
Shedding light, yes.
And we, with our dollars as well. And
right.
by the way, these companies are making money. So it's like,
they're doing okay.
They're doing pretty good. Like
yeah.
we would not say, go support this, but
sure.
you know, like give your money away.
Yeah.
This is like being able to do both.
Yeah.
So you're doing good and you're doing well.
Yeah.
Or well and good, whatever. I don't know which comes first,
you know,
but.
Yeah.
And so even with
so
a huge
company.
You
can feel good
company,
about your investments or your consumerism.
And you know it's
yeah,
transparency.
For sure.
Like
you
even
know
if,
that the dish soap you're going to buy, say, from
exactly
eco.
Right.
Is,
from right,
yeah, right.
From earth-friendly products.
Earth-friendly
which
products.
You look at it. I've actually been in their factory,
yes,
which
I've
is
heard.
So fun.
But you know that. Like,
but you know what it is.
Going to poison your children or, you know,
right,
you're
and,
not going to.
Right.
You know.
And you also know, like, even with a huge company like Toyota,
mm-hmm.
which is Toyota, Lexus, all those cars,
sure.
they have been working towards this for many, many, many decades.
Yeah.
And yet they want to make money.
Right.
Everybody wants to make money on
sure,
some level
sure.
to support their families.
Yeah.
But what
they're
they,
a leader in that technology.
And they've made that choice to say, this is how we want to do
yes.
that. And I think that's what's so important, to have people understand that corporations are made up of parents, people.
Yeah.
And everybody is just really trying to do their best for their family at the
sure.
end of the day.
It really is, yeah.
And so whatever choices these companies make, they have to look at both bottom lines.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with Calvert, that was like something that was, as we dug in there and really
yeah.
started to find out, in fact, the CEO, John Struer, joined our board.
Yes.
our board board. Not only like
Emma Gala.
Yes, yeah. It's amazing.
It's really great, and that's what I love about that yearly gala, the Emmy award show is like. Then everybody comes together, and you really get to see the body of work. You really get to see this movement grow. You know, whether it's the new generation that's being honored, but also the businesses that we're all supporting, and it's infectious. I mean, it just keeps, like I said, it keeps getting bigger and bigger.
I mean, I mean, it's exciting. And I think that, you know, having that focus on businesses and products and like, what do you buy?
Right.
I mean, like we actually started the Emma Green Seal for family products this year because we had so many parents coming to us, celebrity parents, just friends, everyone in the community saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to buy. I don't know what to put on my kid. I don't know what to feed them.
Sure.
And you're kind of looking for a place to vet all of this. And
that's a really, really great description of like how Emma is a green home base for certain, I mean, for all sorts of celebrities or people of like, you know, it's a place to go and say, and get answers like that, because this organization takes the time to suss all that out and really help do the research and articulate it and encourage those businesses. So, you know, with the celebrities who have kids, especially like,
and with the young ones who are kids.
Yes.
And with the, you know, every demographic really needs this.
Yeah.
And that sort of, I'm actually really curious. I started thinking about this like a week ago, and I was thinking about social media, and we started in 1989. There was no social media.
There was no Twitter.
There was no nothing.
There was no Instagram.
Right.
Yeah.
There wasn't even like HBO. So
what did you do? Did you go to the publicist? Did you have to go through the publicist?
We went and we worked with the writing teams and the showrunners, the producers, to get content into programs.
Okay.
And when I actually took over
into programs,
into content.
TV shows.
Yeah.
Right.
Like you guys do sometimes.
Sure.
And so like all those storylines.
Mm-hmm.
But that was why we were founded. Like no one thought about what power
it would evolve into.
And what power celebrities have.
Sure.
And I was sort of there. I came in 2000, so it was like 10, 11 years later. Mm-hmm. But then I kind of watched social media happen. And I, in the beginning, what I was doing was I was actually working with paparazzi and publicists to catch people in their private life. Like, here's so-and-so carrying a canvas bag walking out of the market. And that, what happened though, with social media, changed everything. And I think as I was thinking, like, it must be different and either very freeing or a little intimidating for actors and celebrities to really be in control of their brand right now, because for literally 100 years, talent wasn't allowed to show anything. It was all about their PR people, their agents, their managers. They were told what to present to the public.
Yeah.
All bets are off.
It's
like you're there and you have so much power.
Yeah.
Which actually helps us know who's authentic.
Yes.
But you have millions and millions and tens of millions, hundreds of millions, many people.
Mm-hmm.
With one post, you're reaching the entire
public.
Remind
me for the Emma Award show last year, because this year doesn't count yet because we're still counting them up. For last year, how many impressions were made social media wise?
You know what? We couldn't figure out. This is interesting because we couldn't quite figure out our social media at that point because the metrics weren't as refined.
Okay.
We're doing that this time.
Okay.
We had over a billion regular.
Over a billion
media impressions, which means normal.
Without even
press.
Really being able to count it. Yeah.
You can count. That's like TV, online magazines.
Okay.
This was without social media,
without social media.
Right.
Okay.
And so I would say another at least like 600-700 million in social media. This year is going to be insane because we had Jaden Smith, who has like 100 million followers collectively. Shailene Woodley, who was off the charts, and then we had a lot of
And is also in the press right now.
Is in the press
because of Standing Rock, because of her, you know, at the front lines of Standing Rock.
She's a remarkable young woman. She is literally, I think, the activist of her generation.
Mm-hmm. And no fear, all love.
No fear.
Hear
it's
her talk.
All coming from the most genuine place mm-hmm. and most peaceful place.
And no judgment. She just really, really wants what's best for everybody.
Right.
But for the people, it's just really, it was so inspiring to
hear
her talk.
Biplane.
Having a helicopter moment here above. Oh, fudge.
Shailene is like that girl
yeah.
who is camping out for months
sure.
for her causes
mm-hmm.
and creating this incredible movement because she actually has a lot of young, like preteen fans,
oh,
which
sure.
is amazing.
Yeah.
And Jaden, on the other hand, is doing it more in line with our mission in a sense, in like part of our mission, mm-hmm. which is let's change the way people buy things. Let's
business,
change corporation,
fashion,
business.
Yes.
I don't know how you're an entrepreneur at 18 years
yeah.
old, but he is.
Well, let's see. His parents are Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith.
True.
So that would help.
It does help, but he
yes.
has, he
no,
didn't have to
savvy.
Want this on any
no,
level.
No, 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 no. He's very, very savvy.
All
very
of this
kid.
Came from his passions
mm-hmm.
and kind of in the same way that you
and
were
he
saying.
He married them together.
Yes.
Know? Like his, all his different interests.
Yes, the interest and
yes.
his childhood exposure. And
mm-hmm.
like he kind of
Absolutely.
Went to the beach as well and looked. And
sure.
it was, he didn't understand why people would be
mm-hmm.
doing this to our oceans. And he was like, you know, mom, dad, you know, let's
this
do something about this.
Yes, exactly.
And how great
yeah.
is that? So you have two sides of the coin, which
right.
kind of encompass what I think everybody, like everybody who's listening, there's a part of you that may want to kind of go on either road.
Yeah.
And they're both everything.
That's what I love about Emma too, is that it embraces all forms of environmentalists. I mean, I see you going to different board members or businesses and you say, how do you want to be involved? Are you someone who's going to go lobby in Washington, D.C.? Is it more about you want to create a really thriving business that's environment, you know, that can have the Emma green seal and that wants to make money? I mean, you know, it's a great organization because it welcomes all forms of environmentalists, all sort of, you know, everybody on the spectrum, whether they're a little conservative or they're more radical
and non-judgmental,
yeah,
totally non-judgmental
yeah.
because you
kind of all have the same goal in mind.
Right. And you
everybody,
have to,
everybody,
right.
but it's such a nonpartisan issue. And I feel like,
right.
I really do feel like Emma takes that on in the way that it functions, is that it's not judgmental and it's very much like, you care about the environment, come join us.
Right. And it's,
whatever.
And we're all on a road.
Yeah. We're all on a, yep.
They're on the road, the fire department that's right out there.
Everybody wants to be part of our podcast.
Everybody
Debbie.
Does. They clearly do. But
Emma is where it's at.
That's right. Even for the fire truck in front of the
right.
restaurant. But I think it's because everybody has these, we try to make it really personal.
Yeah.
And I think for anyone who's listening, it's like you can wake up any day and decide you're going to try to be a little bit more conscious, be a little bit more sustainable.
Yeah.
And I think we've got, you know, we've got that activist, we've got that business oriented direction. And then you have just being a family and wanting to keep your kids safe
sure.
and healthy and not have pesticides and hormones and,
yeah.
and antibiotics in your food.
Yeah.
And just kind of learning how you read things and how you care for your family
sure.
is so important. I mean, I know, like this sort of was.
And there's something so powerful in that because then you're teaching the next generation in the way that you're living.
Right.
I mean, you're literally teaching the next generation, you know, by the choices that you make and by the experiences that they have, that's what they grow up knowing.
It's
and they,
no,
and
there's no difference.
I mean,
it just is.
To me, it's like why so many millennials really do care about the environment is because they started in their, you know, very early years, they started to do things like turn off the water when they were brushing their teeth, or they, you know, it's their parents were really kind of like the beginners of like bringing bags, you know, to the grocery store and,
right,
you know, that type of thing. So
right.
they look at it deeper and say,
right,
okay, this is really important to us.
Right. And this is the only way
yeah.
to sort of
yes.
be for, especially for that baby that we hear with us. But, you know, I have like a million grandchildren.
Yeah.
And it's like
They're
when
so
I,
cute.
Thank you. When I see like my 6-year-old,
yeah.
who's the oldest, when she sleeps over, she just turns the water off. Like there's no thought about keeping water
yeah.
running ever.
Yeah.
And she's like, she'll sometimes ask me what's in something, some food.
It's amazing.
And I'm like,
and beautiful.
I love you so much. I mean, you're so listening.
She's going to be when she's 25 and when she's 40 and when she's 60. I mean, she's going to carry that with her, that way of life. And so it's such a powerful thing, being a parent and instilling that good messaging.
And we didn't, I didn't have that. Like my generation, they had TV dinners. It was just crazy. I remember being given a TV dinner and no one had a thought about what was in that.
Sure.
And that was progress.
Mm-hmm.
So it's to be able to watch the evolution and how.
Oh, when I was in college, I went to the University of Puget Sound, and we didn't have a recycling program when I was going to school there. I was there in the early 90s, and me and a bunch of kids got together, and we took cardboard boxes and we put them in all of the halls, and we labeled them like glass, plastic, paper, and this one guy had a pickup truck, and we started to pick everything up and recycle it ourselves. At the same time, there were other more savvy kids in that group. I was one of the like hard laborers in that particular movement, but there were other kids who went to the university organization, and they helped form a program where that was like a work program for college kids. So then they could then get paid, you know, then they eventually there were proper bins, blue bins that were put into the halls. But we started that going, hey, why isn't anyone recycling?
Isn't that crazy?
We know that that's important.
Right.
And, you know, it was a great thing to procrastinate on a Sunday night and go like throw bottles in the right container and plastic in the right container out of this huge pickup truck. It was the best way to play hooky. You felt like you knew you were doing something good.
Right.
But same. I mean, you know, just to, you know, I went back recently to give a speech at my college to give a talk to some of the kids about drama. And, you know, I went through one of the halls and they had these recycling bins, and it's like a student work program. And it's just like as if it were always there.
Wow. And they think it was always there. How great is that?
That is
just the way it's supposed to be.
Yes.
And
it's evolution.
I actually was just in Portland and in the outskirts.
Yeah.
And I was so taken in the streets in Portland. They have
beautiful there, isn't it?
It's so beautiful. Yeah. We went up an hour away to the wine country and it was insanely beautiful, and everything is fresh and everything is sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
But in Portland, I saw in public places, there were three waste bins.
Yes.
But one of them, it was recycling. Yes. But one of them was literally called landfill. If that's not the most scary thing you've ever seen, like they labeled something landfill, which is kind of like, how can you put this in there? It's going to last forever.
Yeah.
They didn't skirt around it.
Yeah.
And
I think that's wonderful.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
I was.
It's sobering, isn't it? Like to have that turn in the can and you're just like, okay, it's either going in the ocean or it's going in the land.
It was literally glass bottles, landfill. And it's like you want to bring this everywhere.
Sure.
And
I've noticed that in the Northwest in the airports, like that real
that
real
like
graphic obvious.
Kind of like that no shit, this is what you're doing.
Totally.
And
yeah, it's great.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
So but beautiful.
Yes.
Let's see. I mean, I feel like there's still so much to talk about. How are we doing on time?
Fantastic.
Yeah. I want to just throw in the scandal, a couple of scandal questions. Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, you've been on the show for, is it four?
We're on our sixth season.
Oh my
God. So five have aired and we're filming our sixth season.
Oh my God. And I'm like such a fan. I watch.
See, I think I met you guys like in season one, so I've been around 6 years or
something. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you've done a lot of, I have to just throw this back in, that you've been so great with our gardens and so great with, you know, obviously all the things we talked about, and you're always present, and it's so important.
You could be more present, but thank you.
I mean, you work so much.
Yes, that's true.
And
which
fuels it? When do you start shooting again?
A typical season, if we're doing a full season, we shoot 10 months out of the year, and our days average anywhere from like 12 to about 15 hours. Sometimes they can go longer.
Yeah,
so it is a grind.
And that's an ensemble. Can you imagine?
Right. That's ensemble. So you're not there every single minute, but that's what our season workload is. And so So yeah, I help out when I can with EMA.
And we appreciate every second of it.
Yeah, so we're filming our sixth season right now. Yes.
And so do you think Abby is an environmentalist?
That's a good question. Well, one thing that you can, if you're like a super fan and you really pay attention to my character, since day one, my character has had a coffee thermos, like a sustainable, like she doesn't do any paper cups. Yes.
Yes. I noticed that, of course. Yes.
And it's so funny because I was talking to the props department about this and we agreed that that's something that Abby really cares about. So we've sort of worked it in subtly. So that's like one little thing. We haven't had a lot of environmental storylines. It'll be interesting to see if that comes up, because there's always some new scandal. But I think Abby is a bit of an environmentalist, simply because I am.
Yes. Well, that's how it works. Yeah.
But anyway, that prop, yes, that would tip the audience off to knowing that Abby cares a little bit, at least about her, you know, her coffee runs in the morning.
Right. And I think also is next season, there's going to be, this season for you is mm-hmm. going to be big changes in the White House.
This season, yes. Last season, I was promoted to chief of staff.
Oh, yeah. You were amazing.
This season, I mean, the only tease I can give you is that there's still more changes for Abby. It's just when you think you've settled in, there is new stuff ahead. And that's really all I can say without getting in trouble.
Well, that's because like every single week you end the episode and you're like, oh my God, no. Yeah. And then you have to see the next one.
Yeah.
It's a great roller coaster. Yeah. But maybe if there's some changes, like maybe with like, you know, an administration change or something, we can get some green storylines in there. I'll come visit everybody again. I love your people.
We can bake the writers, the scandal writers, we can bake them some, I don't know, cookies or something to convince them.
But right.
Yeah.
Right.
No, they do an amazing job. I don't know how they sustain the suspense and the drama. I mean, every year, this season, when we first came back to our season opener, Shonda Rhimes wrote the first episode and it's unbelievable. I mean, I was like, okay, they've pretty much done it all. Like
hey, it's politics. You've never done it all.
Secretly, I was like, I'm not going to be surprised anymore. There's no more surprises. And in the first episode, there's like three bombs dropped where I'm like,
when does it start? When does the season start?
January of 2017.
Oh, good.
The date will be revealed soon on social media.
Okay, yeah. Good. Because I keep like, that's like, I wait for that.
Yeah.
And it's the most fun show. And actually with the way the political, like the
crazy,
world is
it?
Right now, I don't even know how you could write anything so crazy. So,
and we'll be back on air after the presidential election. So
right.
That'll be interesting too.
It'll be really interesting.
You know, the real election will have taken place and then we can get back to
Do you keep writing during the season? So are you able to add some like current things that are going on?
This season's a little bit different. It's because we haven't aired anything yet and we're shooting episodes and putting them in the can. Shonda will occasionally, it's really her call. She'll take out episodes and finesse them or rewrite certain things. So that happens. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it's kind of like getting I feel like it's a reality show. That's so
What's
true.
Not?
That's so true.
Yeah.
This was so fun.
So fun. Thank you for having me on your Organic Lunch podcast.
Thank you, Darby.
I'm about ready to devour this season.
I know. We're gonna start like really eating because we didn't want to crunch too much on the mic. But this was great. And
yes.
I so appreciate everything and your friendship and your board being such a great board member.
Thank you.
And
I'll come back later in 2017 in a couple of months. And we'll do another one.
We will 100% do another one.
I have more in store for you.
I know. And we're going to be able to talk about all that you've been doing.
Yes.
So I'm excited. So thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Organic Lunch with Debbie Levin. Be sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and wherever you get your podcasts. You can find the show online as well at www.environmentalmedianetwork.com. This is Debbie with Organic Lunch with Debbie Levin. And we thank lineupmedia.fm for hosting our show.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.